Thank you, Ron, for reading our gospel lesson. Another scripture passage where you could just read and kind of get what you need. I'm still going to preach. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, cynicism, or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Once upon a time, a beloved village leader had an accident that deprived him of using his legs. So he took to walking on crutches. He gradually developed the ability to move with great speed, even learned to dance and execute little pirouettes for the entertainment of his neighbors. Then he took it into his head to train his children in the use of crutches, and it soon became a status symbol in the village to walk on crutches. And before long, everyone was doing so. By the fourth generation, no one in the village could walk without crutches. The village school included crutchery, theoretical and applied, in its curriculum, and the village craftsmen became famous for the quality of crutches that they produced. But one day, a young girl in the village was curious why everyone walked with crutches, since God had provided people with two legs to walk on. She went and questioned the village elders, who were amused by her misplaced curiosity. They told her, "This is how we have always done it." But they agreed that it was dangerous to have someone challenge their way of life. The head elder decided to test her. "If you are determined, why don't you show us how to walk without crutches?" And so the girl agreed, and a big demonstration was fixed for the following Sunday at the village square. Everyone was there when the young girl hobbled on her crutches to the middle of the square, stood upright, and dropped her crutches. And a hush fell on the crowd as she took a bold step forward and then fell flat on her face. The end. It's not a satisfying story, is it? But neither is the truth that it reveals. Obsessed with doing it the way they have always done it, bent on keeping and maintaining the status and hierarchy of using crutches, the people are so caught up in the myth that they have forgotten how to walk. The depleted disciples are hungry. They've been walking with Jesus through towns, over the sea, living off the kindness of complete strangers for food and shelter. They are food insecure, never quite sure where their next meal will come from. Perhaps we've seen them in town waiting outside Maple Street Methodist. The disciples manage a meal and sit down to eat together. Meanwhile, Pharisees and legal experts from Jerusalem, who represent this institutional religion, such as the church today, surround Jesus. And in a show of intimidation, together they chastise this rabbi for not having his disciples wash their hands. Now, it's 2024. COVID, unfortunately, is on the rise again, and we may agree with sanitizing one's hands. However, they are not concerned with germs. They are concerned that this popular rabbi has forgotten the ways we have always done it. Why are your disciples not living according to the rules handed down by the elders, but instead eat with ritually unclean hands? And you can sense frustration, annoyance, maybe even a little anger in Jesus' response. He snaps back at them. Isaiah really knew what he was talking about when he prophesied about you hypocrites. Jesus is throwing down here. I don't know if you hear it. He calls them hypocrites. Remember, these are religious people with political and social power back in Jerusalem. These are people in honored religious positions. And a Greek audience would have heard that word hypocrite and would have immediately thought of the theater. For that word hypocrite meant someone who had two faces. A hypocrite is a stage actor or a pretender. We might say fake. Jesus alleges that their acclaimed holiness and piety is actually a mask, hiding their true intentions of taking advantage of others. Jesus provides another example showing them that he has examined their authenticity, saying, Moses said, honor your father and mother, yet you tell your mother and father, I owe you nothing, for God will give you whatever you need. They are not living the commands written on their hearts by God, but they are living the commands of their self-serving words written upon their ego, using religion and tradition to exclude others. In essence, they are faking their relationship with God because it gives them power to control others around them. Jesus is not questioning tradition itself or the faith. In fact, quoting Isaiah and Moses, Jesus is showing how he lives by the words of the prophets and tradition. However, Jesus does question a faith and tradition that keeps hungry people from eating and forbids the sick from being cured just because it's Sabbath. I believe religion can be the best thing in the world. I've seen complete strangers care for one another, find common ground, and work to ensure everyone has what they need because of their religion. However, religion can be the worst thing in the world. Throughout history, and even to this very day, Christianity has been used to justify war, slavery, fear of the immigrant, fear of anyone who is different that dares to question the way that it's always been done. Just because you hold a Bible, upside down, I may add, does not mean you are acting from the heart of a God whose story on those pages is love and justice. Just because you wear a cross around your neck doesn't mean you are making those sacrifices to create a community of God where all are welcome and safe. But I want to stop there because it's easy to focus on others. Before you know it, you're just like the Pharisees and you miss the story. Because the story is asking each of us to reflect and discern whether our actions, our traditions, our values are God's. Are we concerned with what concerns God, or are we masquerading as chosen or holy, using faith to keep privilege and power? Are we hypocrites? When you walked into the sanctuary this morning, whether you notice it anymore or not, the values of our church are written in big, colorful letters. We have faith, love, welcoming community, leadership, and joy/fun. How are we as a congregation living those values with God? Do we trust God to guide us with wherever this church may go? Are we loving with the depth of God's steadfast love, valuing relationship more than being right or getting our own way at all costs. Is our community truly welcoming? Or do some feel tolerated and not celebrated? How are we being leaders, studying the word, taking risks in living the gospel, and doing it in a way that brings others alongside? Are we living these values with God in worship, in study, our mission and outreach, even in our business practices with partners using our building? Are we hypocrites? How do we spend our money, both as churches and individually? And I invite us to really think about that. What organizations do we give to, and what do they stand for? Do we live by this more capitalistic tradition of I have because I've earned it, or Jesus' tradition of I have so that I may give to others? Are we more keen to give money rather than our time and presence because it's just easier? Do we want to help others but are unwilling to commit our energy to building relationships, the relationships Christ invites us to build, especially with those on the margins? Are we hypocrites, coming to church on Sunday morning, saying prayers, singing hymns of grace, but at work or with family, we struggle to live with compassion, or we're unable to forgive or confess the wrongs that we have done? Do we have communion out of obligation, believing that the bread and juice make us holy, yet fail to realize communion is also the mission and witness of God's presence in the world when we live this table in all we do? Are we hypocrites? And the answer is yes. Each of us can say yes, myself included. But here's the thing, and Jesus teaches it so well. Religion is not about being perfect. It's not about saying the right prayers or having the right doctrine or, as this morning, eating the right food in the right way. Our relationship with God is not determined by external things, but through our hearts. And if our hearts have integrity of faith that's one with God in grace, love, and justice, then we will walk with God. We will live in relationship with God. That's what it means to be holy and to live holy in union with our God. The Pharisees and the scholars wore religion as a mask. Their hearts were more concerned with feeling superior and maintaining status. It was their crutch, and it kept them from walking God's ways. The good news of this text is that God has given us a tremendous gift, a gift to examine our relationship with God. Examine ourselves, examine our church and how we function, examine our connections, even examine our giving. And in examining, we will discover hidden shortcomings. But Jesus invites us not to dwell on that, but for us to walk in a new life Christ walks. I like to imagine that the story of the girl and the crutches didn't end with her face flat on the ground. And I think some of you do as well. That's how the story ends. But perhaps it doesn't end like that. In fact, I don't think it does. Clearly, she was fearless and confident to challenge the status quo. She wouldn't have stayed down for too long. I imagine that there was this inner strength within her that helped her to get back up, that resurrected her to her feet. I believe she became more determined than ever before. And I imagine others that had the same question she had burning in them were empowered by her courage to live with integrity and to walk. And I wonder if that was the beginning of a revolution. She showed them the way. As Christians, our way is Jesus. Jesus shows us how to walk. And when we fall short, or when we fall on our face, we can examine our hearts, get up, and follow again. Amen. Amen. Amen.